And I am here in studio with the Marshfield Police Chief, Phil Tavares. We do our annual end of the year quick recap and highlights. And thank you so much for joining us today, Chief Tavares.
My pleasure to be here, Christine. Thank you.
Oh, delighted to have you. Now, 2023, an interesting year. It's funny, at the end of the year, just about everything we do, we always sit back and think, oh, nothing much happened this year. And then you look back and you think, yeah, we were pretty busy just about in all these towns. And I know that your approach to policing has always been, because again, I've been here for over 30 years and I've known you since before you were chief. Marshfield really responds to every call that comes in. You don't sort of poo-poo people and push them aside, say, no, we're not going to respond. And I think maybe that part of what you do feeds into the overall aspect of how you handle policing in this community.
Yeah, we have full-time police officers that answer the 911 calls that come in, and we go on every call that comes in.
So do you think that makes a difference between versus police versus civilian dispatchers?
I think that the police officers have a better understanding of mm-hmm. What's a crime and what might not be. If I'm calling 911, I'd like to speak to a police officer rather than a civilian.
Okay, I believe that. Now, fourth safest community of your size in the United States. That's a pretty good designation.
Yeah, it's for the last 10 years, we've been in the top 79th, and I believe in the last 8 years, we've been in the top 14th safest communities in the United States of America, according to Neighborhood Scout, which is a division of Locations Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
They look at every community with 25,000 people or more, and they get the raw crime data from the FBI in regards to violent crimes and property crimes, and they divide it by 1,000 residents. So that doesn't even take into consideration the influx of people that we get for the summer. If it did, I would imagine would be even lower than four.
Wow. Now, why is that? Is everybody in Marshfield well-behaved?
Not everybody, Christine, but most people are, and we could talk about why I feel that we're the safest for over an hour, because there's so many different components to it.
What about technology?
Oh, yeah, there's more people now with cell phones than ever before. They're able to call in suspicious activity and give us reports about erratic operators or anything like that, and we're able to respond much more quickly. Businesses have cameras. We're able to do follow-up in the event that there is a crime and catch those that are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So technology plays a big role in this as well.
What about the way the town is laid out and the way it was developed, with the ocean on one side?
Sure.
Of it?
Well, first and foremost, I believe that the geographical location of Marshfield is a deterrent for those, that want to come here and do bad things. We're bordered by, on the east, by the Atlantic Ocean. There are very few roads that lead in and out of town, which provides numerous choke points for traffic, and it makes it much easier to identify fleeing vehicles and suspects.
What about training? I know that you guys do a lot of training because we hear about it. We hear you on the scanner. Sometimes you talk about it. What kind of a difference does that make? And have you changed the training that you do over the past couple of years to respond to things?
I think we've always been ahead of the curve with our training. Last year we did, 6,500 hours approximately of training. A lot of our training is roll call training, and it's on a daily basis. And we look at low frequency events that have high risk associated to them, because those are things that we're not used to dealing with as, they're low frequency, but high risk involved.
Something like a murder.
Yeah, a murder or an active shooter mm-hmm. or, bank robberies, different things like that.
Okay.
So.
Now, I noticed, because I know that you were doing different types of training also in conjunction with the fire department, and this was something to respond to different types of incidents that could be very serious, but in a different way than typically has been done in the past. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. This last year, we worked really closely doing a lot of different training with the fire department. One of it was in regards to Nero's Law, which I'll speak about afterwards, but most importantly, it's our response to an active shooter, whether they be in a school or a building or anywhere in the community.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional response has been, the police officers go in and they hunt down the suspect and they stop the threat. Meanwhile, they could be stepping over people that are in need of medical attention. They could be bleeding out. And those people just had to be ignored in the past until the threat was stopped. The new training that we're doing is working with the fire department. We have our contact team going in, the police officers, hunting down the suspect, and then we have a second team of police officers going in with paramedics from the fire department to extract those people that may be injured and in need of medical attention.
Saving more lives then.
Absolutely.
So this is some very, very good training. Pretty lucky this year in that we didn't have a horrific murder as we did the year before with the Mattson family and Christopher Keeley. Has he been arraigned in Superior Court?
Yes, this year he was arraigned in Brockton Superior Court on the two charges of murder.
Okay. And I know, what about school resource officers? I know this is something that's still important in this community, and a lot of people think it's very important. This is some towns you have people that argue against it, but a lot of people seem to be very positive about having school resource officers involved with the students.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's against it doesn't understand the importance of it. It's absolutely essential, more now than ever before. We were able to get a grant for $250,000 approximately 2 years ago, which provides three officers to be full-time in our schools. We have one full-time in the high school, one full-time in the middle school, and one full-time that goes to all of the elementary schools 1 day a week. You know, we believe that early intervention with our children develops a long-lasting partnership for the future. In fact, I'll just show you how important it is. Just in September, Officer Hernan at the middle school was given an award by the school department for saving a young student that was choking. He performed the Heimlich maneuver and saved her life.
Wow. That is very important. And I know something that some departments have spoken about, because some of the calls that we listen to, especially on the scanner, it sounds like frontline social workers, but you actually have a social worker that works with your department.
Oh, yes.
Tell me a little bit about how that works.
Sure. In May, we were able to secure a grant through the Department of Public Health, the State Department of Public Health, which provides, we teamed up with the towns of Norwell and Duxbury. She's primarily based out of our facility, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the other 2 days, she's either in Duxbury or Norwell. She goes out on patrol with the officers if there's somebody having a hard time, may need some services, if there's some de-escalation involved, if there's some type of situation going on. She has a bullet-resistant vest. She rides with the officers, and she does follow-up treatment after the fact, or if she's not working, she'll do follow-up.
Anecdotally, how has that gone with several responses?
Absolutely amazing, and we could use somebody working for the police department 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, I think that this is what we're going to see in the future.
A trend?
Yeah, absolutely. She's been able to section people and get them the help that they need. She's been able to de-escalate situations.
That's my next question, to just kind of put a damper on it.
That's
calm
right.
People down.
Yeah, and I truly believe that through her efforts, lives have been saved, because, you know, especially around this time of the year, there's a lot of suicidal people.
Right,
they
the
get
holidays.
Depressed during the holidays, depressed during the winter. She's doing amazing work. I can't say enough good things about it, and I wish I had six or seven more of her.
That sounds terrific, and that sounds like a very positive trend. Now, what about, we get a lot of calls, and we have a lot of older listeners, a lot of seniors in our listening audience, and again, it's that tough older generation. They never want to ask for help, even when they think they do. Oh, I don't want to bother the police. I don't want to bother the fire departments. I need you to let them know, call you.
Absolutely. We're getting paid to do a job. You're not bothering us. We're there for you. Mm-hmm. We're public servants. We're there for the public. So please call us, because we will help.
You heard it here, folks. Cops for Kids with Cancer, something that you've been very involved with every year, and I know you always grow beards right around the same time, too. I think was it last year or a couple of years ago you broke the barrier there, and you got through $100,000, but this year you went even higher than that.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough this year to raise over $123,000 in one night at Haddad's Ocean Cafe Restaurant in Brant Rock. The citizens, the businesses, everybody was so generous for such a worthy cause. There were a lot of hard work went into that. I'd like to thank, you know, Chuck Haddad and his family. Tommy Grenham, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the State Police, did a lot of hard work on it. And Lieutenant Arthur Shaw in our police department also helped spearhead this whole thing. And there were so many more people involved with it, but just the pure generosity. Especially so close to the holidays, people are still, you know, doing the right thing and giving to a good cause.
It's amazing. And they give each family, I believe, $5,000 to use in whatever way they need to help with that situation when you have a child that's sick with cancer.
That's absolutely.
It's a lifesaver to so many people.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this. We, you know, obviously cancer is a terrible thing. But, you know, this may provide a little comfort for them while they're going through a difficult time.
So some good things going on there. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about what's happened during this past year or what you think is on the horizon for 2024?
We're going to be working with the state police, and all our officers will be certified to collect DNA. This is a new type of database that's going to be rolling out, so that there's lots of people out there that have been required to provide DNA
mm-hmm.
That have been convicted of certain crimes. So on a traffic stop, we'll be alerted that their DNA needs to be collected, and we'll collect it right there on the spot, and then it'll get submitted to the database, and you know, potentially we might be able to solve some old crimes.
Now, is it a cheek swab, like you're taking a test with Ancestry?
That's right. But not as bad as the COVID tests up the nose.
Yeah, I do remember those early ones. Those were not pleasant.
No.
Well, as always, a lot going on here in Marshfield, and we always appreciate your accessibility to us and not sending us to a Facebook page or telling us to wait for a press release 2 days later. You guys are always available to answer our questions, and we really appreciate that and to come on live with us. Again, this is Marshfield Police Chief Phil Tavares. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.